From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
I'm here with two sucker personalities who just happen to be two of my dearest friends. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and our conversation today on the journey is with Dwight York and Shaka Hislop. Welcome. Dwight, let me start with you first. You moved from Trinidad and Tobago, where you were playing in high school, to professional league in England. Tell me what that transition was like at that time.
It was a real challenging moment, as you can imagine, a young boy leaving the Caribbean to embark upon a journey that was always going to be challenging, but it's something, as I said, that that I really wanted to do. And of course, I had to dedicate myself and do all the right things in terms of making that transition.
Now, Shaka, you took your journey first here to Howard University and then to England. What are the biggest differences you saw in the college game here in the U.S. and the professional game in England?
Well, certainly in terms of the transition and the difference in levels. At the professional level, you aren't allowed many mistakes in the game. I think during my time here at college, I was a fairly talented goalkeeper. There were things that I could do or get away with that you'd be punished for at the pro level. Teams would spend time, they'd have coaches dedicated to looking at the opposition, figuring out their weaknesses and trying to exploit those. So I had to be more complete, and not just more complete. You had to be on it 100% of the time. There simply was there was no time to be second guessing. There was no time to be anything but the best of yourself.
Now, obviously, you met your wife here at Howard University, so I'm sure it holds a special place for you. What was your journey at Howard University like, especially the fact that you met your future wife here?
It was a fantastic time in my life. For the first time, I'd been away from my parents' home, living away from Trinidad. That was never going to be an easy transition, but one that, in the end, was fairly seamless, given the number of Trinidadians and Tobagonians who'd been here at Howard as students, given the number that represented and were represented the team at the time. That made things a whole lot easier to settle in. And then because of the culture, because of the Caribbean history that Howard University has, it really became a home away from home, and one that I look back on with a lot of fondness. It's here I grew up. It still means and still resonates to such a level with everything I do, even today in my day-to-day life.
Now, Dwight, obviously, professional sports personalities like yourself, the lifestyle tends to get a little bit glorified. And I think people don't necessarily see what happens behind the scenes on a day-to-day.
And it takes a lot of sacrifices. Along the way, there's some challenges. There's ups and downs. You miss your family. You know, you're there on your own. Those are some of the challenges. But you have to stay focused and believe in what you want to achieve, and to do that you have to make these sacrifices, and I had to do that, looking around, giving up your friends and all the things that you saw used to being back in the Caribbean. I was put in a digs, which we call a home, with a family, so I was there basically on my own trying to make headways, and as I said, there was very difficult time, but I know that this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
You know, I just interject, and I think that's an interesting point, an interesting aspect of being a professional sportsman, that I don't think the general public, or certainly aspiring athletes, appreciate. You know, they see what you do, they see your achievements, maybe they see the trappings of those successes, and that becomes the focus. Whereas when you're in it, and that is your life, that is your lifestyle, match days are you know, 90 minutes, if you want to throw in, you know, your time to arrive to the stadium to the time that you leave, including, you know, pre-match meals and warm-ups, etc., you're talking 4 or 5 hours out of a 168-hour week. And it's, we know, and when we're in it, you get to understand that it, what happens in the other 164 hours is far more important than what happens during those four. You know, we've all there. I know of Dwight's rise to his success. I know the sacrifices he made. I also know the work he put in to get there. And people simply don't appreciate that it takes waking up at 6 in the morning and, you know, running a mile more than somebody else on your team, or you know, doing 200 push-ups more than somebody else on your team. Because when you get to that level, the difference between a good player and an average player isn't all that in terms of talent. It's who's prepared to make better use of that 100, 164 hours, as I say, that makes all the difference.
You're listening to The Journey. My guests today are Dwight York and Shaka Hislop. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Dwight, you grew up in Tobago. Sports, obviously, appears to have been a very important part of your family in general. Why don't you describe to us what your family was like and what role sports played in your upbringing?
Well, you know, I came from a family of nine, six boys and three girls. Lived in a two-bedroom house at the time. Very difficult time for us, but a very happy family household in general. Not a lot happening. We didn't have a lot going for us as a family, but we were together. And sports was a big thing, you know, having, you know, certainly four other bigger brothers ahead of me, showing me the ropes and teaching me other various sports. Sports was a very big thing. Football, as you know, we have two seasons in the Caribbean, the dry season and the wet season. In the dry season, we tend to play a lot of cricket, so you get involved in that. And then in the wet season, we play football, which is something that, you know, my brothers and certainly held my hand and showed me the ropes in those times. My sister was very athletic. They did a lot more athletics on that side of stuff and play a lot of netball. So, you know, sports was a DNA within the family. So I was very blessed in that respect to sort of learn through them in many ways.
Now, both of you are broadcasters now. You actually appear and call sports a lot. What is that like for you, Shaka, at ESPN?
It's been wonderful, to be quite honest. I've been doing it now just over 7 years, and it's not something I ever planned to do, not something I trained to do, not something I ever thought I'd do at the end of my career. The opportunity just fell in my lap, and arrived at ESPN and was given, you know, pretty simple instructions. You know, call it as you see it. And that's what I do. You know, it keeps me involved in the sport at the highest level, because, to be quite honest, I'd probably still be watching just as many games on my own for free if I wasn't doing what I was doing. So it's been fulfilling in a number of ways. You know, it's also allowed me to see the game from the other side of the camera, as it were.
You know, Dwight, as Shaka refers to the other side of the camera, obviously at one point in your career, if not for your entire career, you were under the microscope and either getting criticism on bad days and, you know, getting all of the great plaudits on the good days. How do you see yourself in terms of evaluating, you know, today's athletes when you call the game? You know, are you a little more empathetic and less harsh when somebody does make a mistake because of your own experience, or do you, you know, call it just as you see it?
Well, yeah, it's certainly different, because I suppose when you've been in at the level that I have played for such a long time, you see the game from a different aspect from behind the cameras, and you can sympathize with players when they make mistakes, when they're doing well. As you said, you get applauded when things are going great, but also when you're not doing so well, then you expect the other side of the game. But that's part and parcel of the game. You have to be strong enough to make sure and come back from that.
Now, you obviously both come from my native homeland, and sports obviously is an integral part, I think, still of the fabric of our country. Sports are in a different place right now. But you guys took that small to an island nation, to a World Cup, which obviously was a feat. You know, why don't you both tell me a little bit of what that experience was like?
I was seeing Dwight looking squarely at me. It was a dream come true. It really was. Dwight was in a team in the Trinidad Tobago team, the strike squad of 1989, that fell at the final hurdle against the US in trying to qualify for Italia 1990. I was a student here at Howard University. We were actually at a game down in Texas playing against Southern Methodist University down there on that fateful day, November 19th, 1989. And I shed tears as a fan. And I've always seen myself first and foremost as a fan of Trinidad and Tobago football. That day was as hurtful as a fan as qualifying on November 16th, 2005 was rewarding or uplifting as a fan. I never thought I'd see the day that Trinidad and Tobago qualified. Again, I'm looking at this purely as from a fan's perspective. But then, okay, roll the clock a few years forward from that day in 89. I graduate Howard University. I take a one shot at playing professional myself, which worked out. And there I am, lo and behold, in the dressing room of a Trinidad and Tobago team that have qualified and about to play their first game at a World Cup. A day I never thought I'd see. And a day that even now I look back on as a fan, as opposed to a player or somebody who was meant to be there or had a role to play with us being there. I see it purely from that perspective. Taking that into consideration, you can understand how emotional it was for me. As a player, I had a job to do. And somehow you have to find the balance between those two emotions, getting the job done and enjoying the day, which really was what meant most to me at the time.
Now, Dwight, as you answer the question, one thing that I do want you to reflect on is that I believe during the first round of that World Cup, you were the defensive player of the tournament. You had the most tackles, the most interceptions, if I remember correctly. Which is obviously a different side of the game from the striker who won the treble back in 99. So, you know, what was your perspective about it as well as the captain?
Well, yeah, it for me was the most historical moment in certainly in my career, and I've been very fortunate to play at the very top, as you mentioned, to win the treble, to win a few trophies along the way, and play for such a great club like Manchester United. It's really is the icing on the cake, so to speak. To be going to the World Cup in Germany in 2006, after all those years of trying to qualify for the World Cup, as Shaka said, we never thought the day will probably come. When it came, it was, as I said, for me, the most historical moment, certainly in the history of Trinidad and Tobago. What it done for the country, for the people, generally throughout the Caribbean as well. When you see the response, and certainly the first game against Sweden, that was special. I mean, as I said, I've been very fortunate to win the treble and won other trophies, the Premier League and all that stuff. But representing Trinidad and Tobago as the captain, the leader of the team, words can't begin to describe how that felt. It was a real emotional time, and I felt the sort of comforting within the players at that time, what it meant to everyone within that dressing room. We know what we were representing our people back in the Caribbean as well, and everyone sort of embraced that.
And to put that in perspective, I remember just after the tournament, we went back to Trinidad and Tobago at an award ceremony. You were there, Dwight, and local comedian Paul Skeens Douglas. He remarked, "Trinidad and Tobago beat Sweden 0-0." He's like, "We had the bigger nil," and that's what it meant. It felt like we won. It felt like a win. And I think that was a number of emotions spilling out simultaneously. One, we never thought we'd be there. Two, the lead up to the tournament was all about whoever qualified out of our group was a team that would be Trinidad and Tobago heaviest. So I don't think anybody expected us to put up a fight. let alone leave Sweden rocking as it did.
Well, I have to tell you, certainly as a fan myself, it was a special day for me, you know, obviously as a fan and as a citizen of Trinidad and Tobago. And then to have my friends be the ones to navigate that made it very personal. And sitting in a sea of Swedish fans, I could tell you I was probably a little bit obnoxious. Thanks for being here. My guests today have been Dwight York and Shaka Hislop. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, right here on the Howard University Radio Network.